The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 122 of the Canescast, brought to you by Storm Brew. And you know what?
What's that?
I think we need to bring in a hockey specialist for this one.
Yeah, it's time to bring in an expert. Someone who's a professional.
Someone who can actually not only talk about the game, but they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Probably get told things and know things.
Yeah. Somebody's played the game.
At a high level.
At a high level. At a professional level. A champion.
I'm in for all of this. How about Alyssa Gilardi, who is now the girls and women's youth and amateur hockey specialist for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm down. Let's get her in studio.
All right. Sounds like a good deal.
We're going to have her in studio coming up shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's talk about Storm Brew.
Yes.
Storm Brew is the official beer of the Carolina Hurricanes. It's a crisp, light lager.
Crispy.
Made by our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just 97 calories and 2.4 carbs per serving. It's the perfect brew for all occasions, especially Canes home games, where a 16-ounce can is just $5. Taste the Storm at your local taproom and most major retailers with new store locations added daily.
The amazing thing is how you do not need to read that at all. It is just
not at all
seared in your brain.
Just implanted with a microchip.
Crispy.
Crispy.
Very much so.
Just like our friend Jordan Martinook says, I'm sure he's enjoying one of these Storm Brews while on the bye week currently.
Yes.
I would be enjoying a Storm Brew if I was in the country, but I am not.
I would also be enjoying a Storm Brew if I was in North Carolina.
But you are not.
But I am not.
Yeah, we're off gallivanting about vacation spots.
Yes.
In and around North America.
So we're not going to ask Michael Smith how did the All-Star game go, because peel back the curtain, you love to reveal the magic trick. Why is that?
Because we're all friends here. Yeah. Yeah, there are no secrets.
Exactly.
We friends don't keep secrets from other friends.
We're recording this before the All-Star game.
In advance, yes.
That's why. I was hoping you would say that. And now I have revealed
the
magician's secret.
Yeah, now you've shown the secret sauce.
Thank you very much.
But I'm sure the All-Star game was fantastic.
Oh.
And I'm sure Jacob Slavin did wonderfully.
I bet you that he is an MVP candidate.
Yeah, probably.
So
I bet the Metropolitan Division was just had a resounding success.
They just whooped everybody.
And if not, well,
I'm sure everybody had a great time.
Yeah.
So, folks, we'll get you all caught up on the All-Star game in weeks to come. But we like to try to keep everything just kind of moving, keep you on schedule. So this is another one of those editions where it's kind of a special episode of the Canescast. We get a chance to talk to a member of the organization. And this is a new member of the organization,
yeah.
Alyssa Gilardi, who is the Girls and Women's Youth and Amateur Hockey Specialist. She is with the Carolina Hurricanes now, and she's with us here on Canescast.
Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Canescast. And more importantly, you know, we always have questions. How do people get into sports? How do you like this? Of all the sports you could have picked, why was hockey the one that kind of drew you to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we just kind of played roller hockey growing up, my brother and I. We actually thought, we had family friends that played ice hockey. We kind of thought they were crazy because we knew they were going to the rink at like 6 a.m. and we didn't know how to ice skate. But lo and behold, we ended up trying out ice hockey and fell in love with it at a young age. So kind of funny to, you know, see how the whole journey takes you, you know, back to here and to be able to be a part of the Canes organization. And appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. Now, when you say you got into it late, how old were you when you first put on a pair of skates and got into, all right, let's see if we can do this?
Yeah, I think probably 7.5, eight years old was my first year of ice hockey. So a little later than some of the kids now, which is kind of funny. But yeah, just kind of fell in love with it and stuck with it.
And how did that happen in a place like Raleigh, where hockey was relatively new at the time?
Yeah, so actually I was born in Pittsburgh. And then we moved to Philadelphia when I was six. So that's actually where we started playing roller hockey and tried out ice hockey for the first time was in Philadelphia. It obviously was a little bit more popular up there. Still, the girls' game was on the smaller side, but so definitely was playing with the boys at a young age. And then we moved down here when I was 10. And like you said, you know, it wasn't all that many options down here, but you know, I always say this, credit to my parents. The first thing when they knew we were moving down here was finding a hockey program for my brother and I. So We joined the Raleigh Youth Hockey Association as soon as we moved down, and it's been so fun to see the growth since then.
I hate to put it in this perspective, but I can't think that there were a lot of girls playing hockey back then to a point where you could have your own league and team. So was it you're skating with the boys and you got to learn, you know, this is what we're going to do. So plus you were in Philadelphia. So dropping the gloves probably were not a problem for you.
Yeah, it's funny because we're Pittsburgh fans, you know, growing up there. My family's all from there. But moving down here, there really was no options for girls. And I was actually a goalie. I switched to goalie after my first year. So I was a goalie down here playing for the, you know, Mites and Squirts. And then I actually got cut as a goalie from the boys team. So my only option to continue playing was to join the only girls team in the area. And it was a U16 team. And I was only 11. But it was the only option in order to keep playing. And there was girls from Virginia down to Florida. So, you know, we'd get together on weekends. But that was really the only girls option at the time. So now that there's, you know, almost two teams at every level from 12 and older, I think is pretty awesome to see.
How did that challenge you as a young hockey player being that young on a U16 team?
Yeah, I think I probably didn't really know any different. I think I just knew like, hey, this is my option to keep playing. And it was my first time actually being on a girls team. And so I was probably kind of like a little sister to a lot of them. But they, you know, they treated me well. And actually Ryan Schmidt, who's still involved with the hockey down here, he was my coach that year. And then after that season, I did switch back to boys. But yeah, it was, you know, I think it was a good challenge to play against some older players and kind of be in that environment.
Speaking of a challenge, you know, a lot of times when kids get cut, that's usually, all right, that's it. I'm on to something else. You seem to dig in the other way and say, no, I'm going to find a place to play. But did that kind of motivate you? And, you know, we know the career that you go on to have. Do you always keep that in the back of your mind that, you know, yeah, I got cut and I'm going to show everybody that I should have been on these teams?
Yeah, you know, and I got cut as a goalie. And luckily I'd already had some experience as a player. So I think it was kind of like a new challenge to go back to being a player I did defense, and obviously I just stuck with defense from then on. So luckily it worked out, but yeah, I think it was just kind of fortunate that I did have another option to continue playing. And then again, being able to, you know, try out for the boys again the next year and make that really helped my career.
All right. So jumping to right now, we'll go back to some stuff from your collegiate years and everything, but now you're the girls and women's youth and amateur hockey specialist with the Carolina Hurricanes. What does that role entail? Because it's a new role that you're in.
Yeah, I think the nice part with it is it being a new role is kind of have some freedom to kind of be creative with it. So really my focus is creating and building upon some of the awesome programs Shane and Emil have put together for youth hockey in general, but specifically for girls and women. We were able to do our first event this past Saturday down at Fort Bragg with a women's tri hockey for free. And you know, it was awesome. So many women came up after just being like, you know, there's really no opportunity to try out the sport at that age, you know, when you become an adult, unless you just jump right into an adult league. But you don't really get to learn the basics of skating and stick handling and things like that. So I think being able to do more of that for girls and women can hopefully be a long way. And it's awesome. The Hurricanes have seen that as well.
Well, you touched on it a little bit, how when you were coming up, your options were, I was going to play on either a boys team at my age or you had to play for an under 16. Are you just surprised at how much it's grown? And then you see the interest, and it's not just in kids, but we're talking about, you know, women in their 20s, 30s, you know, they want to get out, they want to learn how to play the game. Are you surprised by that? Or you just knew they were just waiting for, I hate to say a venue for it, but a bigger platform for it to happen.
Yeah, I think it has been kind of eye-opening. You know, a lot of the focus is on, you know, getting kids involved in the sport. The first goal program is incredible. And I think girls hockey is the fastest growing sport in the U.S. right now, which is awesome. So it's definitely been a trend that's going up. And but I definitely think having, you know, some conversations with, you know, girls that are older or women that want to try the sport and being able to, you know, provide them a platform and a venue to do that, I think has been pretty eye opening. And obviously, you know, at the end of the day, you hope that it just creates more Hurricanes fans and more hockey fans.
I did want to ask you about that event at Fort Bragg because it looked like a really good time. And what is it like to see people who are new to the sport like that come out and give it a shot for the first time and kind of get to know the ropes of it?
Yeah, it was really fun because I think, you know, you could kind of tell maybe some people were a little nervous at first, you know, not even having skates or equipment, but the Cleveland rink down there was awesome. They set us up with equipment, helmet, sticks, skates, and all that stuff. And we actually had the North Carolina Warriors veteran group helping out, and that was awesome. So everyone was super welcoming. I think people were a little nervous at first, but, you know, by the end, I think everyone had a great time. And one of the women actually came up and said, you know, after the first 20 minutes, she's like, I was ready to get off the ice. You know, I didn't know how to skate. I couldn't do anything. And then by the end, you know, she's shooting pucks, and she just said how glad she was she stuck it out. So I think a lot of people probably have a similar experience like that.
You know, Alyssa Glardy is joining us here on Canes Cast, and she is the director for, I just need to keep going, youth hockey and growing the women's game as well to complement Shane Willis and Emil Hartman. And that is a tough compliment, just so you know. You're doing the best you can with those two guys. But to see, you know, people for the first time skate, does it bring back memories for you, or is it the opposite? You kind of get like these coaching instincts of like, okay, that's the person I'm going to work with, and by the end of this practice, they're going to love this game no matter what it takes for me to get them to love it.
Yeah, I think it's probably more of a coaching perspective at this point. And I think just being able to see people have fun with it. You know, I think any new skill, especially skating, is so not a natural thing when you're first learning. So I think people, you know, by the end of a 1 hour session, being able to have that confidence and see those smiles, I think is just what, you know, what it's all about. And you hope that when you do another event that they want to come out and continue to build on those.
And I know that we keep, I guess, going back and forth to present day to you growing up, but when there's this, you know, push for hockey and you see the game growing the way that it is, forget just on the women's game. How impressed are you with how much the game has grown in North Carolina since you were here? Because it seems that in the last 15 years, it's really exploded. It started to get a foothold when you moved down here, but now there's rinks, you know, in 2-3 rinks in every town, it seems like, or a couple of places, and it's growing on the coast, and it's in Charlotte. Is it kind of amazing to you to see that, you know, that hockey's taken this kind of hold here in North Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's incredible. And I think, you know, I remember being at the Stanley Cup parade down here when they won in 06, and you know, I think it was just like kind of we went around the they did the around the arena, but I think hopefully they win a cup very soon. You know, I think it'll be all around town, and I think that's a testament to how much hockey has grown down here. And again, I think the First Goal program to get kids introduced to hockey, and whether they stick with it or not, I think it's just so important that the barrier to try hockey is low, because it's an expensive sport. And it's not easy to find ice time, but I think being able to have that as an entry point is just so crucial for the long-term development.
All right, you asked us before the interview if there are any tough questions. This might be a tough one. What is the biggest hurdle right now for women in the game of hockey? Is it the cost point, or is it they're not really sure where to go to get into hockey?
It's probably a little bit of both, I think. But I think probably more so, you know, it's still seen as a very male-dominant sport. So I think, you know, little girls in school might just not know that there's an option for girls to play hockey. So that's one of the big things that I know the NHL is trying to change and get more involved with. And then obviously the Hurricanes. And I think hopefully we can do some cool programming, whether going out to schools and doing some girls only events, but really making sure that they know there are opportunities to get involved.
So for you, how did this opportunity to work with the Hurricanes come about, and what attracted you to the position to work with Shane Willis and Emil Hartman and the organization in growing these efforts?
Because again, knowing Shane and Emil, this had to be one big sell job to get you to say yes.
For sure. No, I had been working the Hurricanes youth summer camps for the last few years, so I'd gotten to know Shane and Emil pretty well through those, doing some random events throughout the seasons. So just kind of have kept in touch, and then I was living up in Boston for the last couple years, still playing. Had moved back down to Raleigh here this summer, and just kind of approached, you know, Shane and John and said, you know, I'd love to be involved in some capacity. A few other organizations have come up with similar roles with a focus on girls and women, but, you know, the Hurricanes are definitely one of the first organizations to really invest in it. So fortunate that it came together when it did, and really excited to be here.
And to be a homegrown product, I think we can say that you're homegrown. That's got to be cool, too, that your hometown team is recognizing this and investing in women's hockey.
Oh, 100%. And again, you know, when we first moved down here, when I was 10, there wasn't really any girls hockey. So to know that, again, it's grown the way it has, and that there's more investment and there's, you know, a future to continue to grow this, I think is really exciting.
How important is it when we see the Hockey Hall of Fame inductions happening and names like Cammy Granato and Haley Wickenheiser? And I know there's more to it, because your idols can be Sidney Crosby or Rod Brindamore, things like that. But what does that do you think for the game when, you know, these women who've been so great, so instrumental, not just to the women's game, but to how the game has been played, that some of the youth out there see these names and go and look them up and see what they've been able to do. And maybe that opens up a door for someone.
Yeah, definitely. I think just knowing that, you know, women's hockey didn't even get into the Olympics until 98. Yep. So it's still a relatively new sport in terms of that. But I think seeing some of those women get involved or get inducted, into the Hockey Hall of Fame, I think is incredible and obviously so well-deserved. And I think you're going to see more and more women. And especially, you know, it always goes back to you can't become what you can't see. And I think being able to have more women kind of forefront, and you'll see the women at the NHL All-Star Game this weekend, I think will be a huge building block for the future of the sport.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because what does that do, being able to put, you know, the women's game 3-on-3 on the stage and get more exposure?
Yeah, you know, and it's an NHL All-Star Game, so I think the fact that they're involving women is a nice touch. After seeing, you know, what Kendall Coyne Schofield did last year at the fastest lap. So I think it's really exciting, and you know, hopefully the girls will put on a good show. But, you know, I think the NHL sees the potential for the future of the game, and I think this is a good step.
Well, speaking of All-Stars, you played in 2 All-Star games in your professional career. So we can ask you All-Star questions. How fun is it when you're in the room and these are the best players, and, you know, maybe sometimes there's a player, oh, I don't like that player for that team, but then you get to see him in a different venue like that.
Yeah, I think it's awesome for that reason. You know, a lot of the players you don't normally get to play with, to be able to, you know, whether it's doing skills or just hanging out in the locker room and getting to play in kind of a fun game together with, you know, no pressure, but just kind of be creative and have fun. I think it's, you know, it's a really unique opportunity.
Okay, so you spent your teens in Raleigh, not in Cary, as might be mentioned in some places. But then you go to Cornell.
So that means she's way smarter than you
are. Yo, yes, I mean,
well,
obviously.
First off, that was a given coming in even before we said that right, you went to Cornell.
We didn't even have to mention that. Exactly. That's a given. What drew you to Cornell? Was it the opportunity to play hockey there?
Yeah, and actually, I guess right before that, I actually did go to high school up in Minnesota at Shattuck St. Mary, so it's kind of funny because Eric Halla and I actually crossed paths for a year there. He was there 1 year, our junior year. But yeah, so I got to play hockey up there, which was really a game changer. And then, yep, went to Cornell. And yeah, I think the hockey, obviously, which drew me the opportunity to get a good education thanks to, you know, hockey. And I really loved the coaching staff and the program. It was kind of a newer program, but being able to have, so we had a lot of success there over my 4 years. I was fortunate to play with some of the, you know, girls on the Canadian Olympic team and things like that.
And you were the captain of the team too as a senior, right?
Yeah, co-captain.
How was that experience?
It was good. Yeah. Again, I was very fortunate to be there at the time I was with the talent we had and the quality of people we had. So it made it easy. But yeah, it was definitely an honor to be a co-captain there.
What makes a good captain, especially for a hockey team? Because there's a lot of responsibility when that letter's sewn on your jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, you always try to make decisions with the best interest of the team in mind. And, you know, I think anything you do and any actions you take are with, you know, the goals of the team in mind. So I think just being able to relate to all the players and make sure everyone feels involved and appreciated, whether they're first line or fourth line, starting goalie or third string. So I think that's probably the most important thing.
Were you the vocal captain, or were you the one who, you know, pulled people to the side?
Probably more lead by example, I would say. Pull people to the side. And I think, again, you know, I think it just knowing the person, knowing your teammates and how you can relate to them, I think is probably the most important thing.
And from there, you went on to play in the Canadian Women's Hockey League?
Yep. So that was actually the only league at the time. Mm-hmm. After I graduated college. So women's pro hockey has kind of seen the last 5 years kind of expand in a good way, but also have its challenges as well. So yeah, that was kind of my only option. I was still training for the national team at the time. So I moved to Boston because that was the only team in the U.S. And, you know, just wanted to continue to try and make the national team. And that was kind of my only option.
Well, you represented the United States in 2014 and 2015 in the Four Nations series. So how intense is the rivalry between the United States and the Canadian women? Because it seems like that's going down for real. It's not we're out here to have fun. It's no, there is a serious dislike from both of these sides.
Yeah, it was really cool to kind of see it up close. Obviously, I think the first year was in the fall of 2014. So it was right after the 2014 Olympics. And obviously Canada had come back with that overtime win. So there was a lot of kind of hostility and, you know, a lot of us hadn't been at the Olympics that year. They kind of brought some different faces, but I think, you know, you can still feel it, the kind of hatred and that rivalry. So it's only continued to kind of intensify, and I think it's great for the sport.
Did you come across any teammates? Because like you said, there are a lot of Canadian women at Shattuck St. Mary's in Minnesota, so is there any former teammates you got to play up
against? Yeah, actually, quite a few of my teammates from Cornell. We had a lot of Canadians there, and that's where, you know, got to face off against them for the first time, and, you know, wearing your country's colors and things like that. I think it was, you know, a pretty special moment.
Is there a bigger honor than that for an athlete? Because for me, that's always been, you know, winning the Stanley Cup, I know, is every, you know, I would like to say now every kid's dream, not Canadian or American, it's every kid's dream. But, you know, pulling that sweater on, it's got to feel different than pulling on like a Boston sweater or a Cornell sweater, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially on the girls' side, knowing that the Olympics has kind of always been the peak of the sport, you know, I think especially being able to wear the USA jersey was something that I'll definitely never forget and something I definitely didn't take for granted. So very special and something I was glad to be able to accomplish.
And then you spent a few years in the National Women's Hockey League with the team in Boston there. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so that league formed the year after I was in the CWHL, and it was the first league to be able to pay players. So it's kind of funny because the CWHL was quote pro hockey at the time, but we didn't make any money. So the NWHL came along and was able to pay players, you know, not necessarily a living, but some money. And that's kind of, you know, it was a good spot for a few years while I was in Boston and, you know, trying to build my career and still get the opportunity to play and stay involved in the sport. So, I look back on it really fondly.
Did you enjoy your time in Boston?
Yeah, definitely a little colder.
Yes.
A little bit bigger city, but you know, I've made some really great friends up there through hockey and, being able to, again, continue to play and kind of be a part of that growing the sport up there for a few years was really cool.
Did you pick up any of the Boston accent when you're up there just on accident?
I think I maybe accidentally said wicked once, and I felt weird. But, yeah, a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and, a lot of cold winters.
But Krispy Kreme is better, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a big donut fan.
Okay, that's
fair. She was a professional athlete. Yeah, it wasn't like she was eating donuts every day.
And they only have Dunkin' up there. Like, there's no other options for donuts.
Right.
So.
That or bakeries. Like, that's it. There's no quick stop for coffee.
Everybody
and
has their vices,
Dunkin'.
Though. You can have.
Yeah. You can. Yes, but I don't think that she was running to Dunkin' and then, ooh, let me go see if Krispy Kreme's better.
I grab a couple Munchkins every so often when I get my coffee. So.
Munchkins are solid.
Yeah, they are.
And Timbits.
I was going to say you were near Canada, so Timbits are the other way. And they make them with blueberries, so that's healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's fruit in it.
There's fruit.
That's my justification.
All natural.
Fruit flavor, at least.
How much do you miss playing professionally? Is it something that, you know, you still have a lot of time left? Do you think about maybe, you know, sticking the toe back in the water to see if the women's game grows? Is that a door still open for you?
Yeah, you know, right now I'm part of the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association. It's a bit of a mouthful, but so right now, yeah, there's a, you know, group about 200 players that we're not playing in a league this year, but we're still doing some showcase events. So fortunately, I have been able to play a few events. I'll do one in Philadelphia at the end of February. So I still get to play a little bit, but I think when I first moved back, I was like, oh, you know, missing that team aspect. You know, you kind of heard Justin Williams talk about that when he came back. You kind of just miss being around the group and you know, training and competing for something. So you definitely kind of lose that a little bit.
How important is it for, and I don't know all the politics that go into it, and I'm sure you do way better than we do, but like you mentioned, there was the Canadian Women's Hockey League and then the National Women's Hockey League, to just get everybody under one umbrella, one league, because there seems to be this divide of where are we going to play? What's going to happen? How important will it be to get it done and get it done quickly? Because, like you said, I think there's 200 players out there looking for a home, looking for places to play.
Yeah. And I think it is really important. And I think, you know, we really look at kind of the WNBA, NBA model as something to replicate. Because, you know, the reality is women's pro hockey as it is right now isn't a living. You know, it's great to be able to continue to play and grow the game and get more girls involved. But it's really kind of a part-time job. You know, two practices a week, couple games on the weekend, and, you know, you're not making a living. You don't really have those training resources that, you know, you see professional men's hockey have. So that's really something that we're looking at as hopefully a good future, because really we want it to be able to be sustainable for long term. We don't want to, you know, start another league that, you know, falls through in a couple of years because, you know, funding or whatever. So we really kind of see the needing the infrastructure and the marketing and the media to really be sustainable long term. So, you know, girls 10 years old can, you know, actually dream to play pro hockey and make a living off it.
And that's really, I guess, the ultimate goal of all of this is is setting something up for, as you mentioned, the youth and the people that you're working very closely with, the girls of tomorrow, for them to be able to have a league that they can aspire and grow into and play in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been cool. Billie Jean King from tennis has been really involved in the movement. And you know, something she said always resonated with me is, you know, we're not just grateful for the crumbs, we want the whole cake. And you know, I think that's really what we're fighting for right now, is just to be able to, you know, have an option to play professional sports as a women's hockey player and make that your living.
All right. I do have a question. This is an overall hockey question. The skill level that we see now everywhere,
yeah. I mean,
it doesn't matter, but particularly in the NHL, is it just from, you know, the programs are better, the youth programs, the teaching programs are better, or is it the players coming out just have all the skill, they're not afraid to unleash it now?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams are giving players the opportunity to be more creative, but I think that does stem from a young age. And you know, you see the USA Hockey ADM model about cross ice and getting a lot more puck touches and being able to make plays. And I think, you know, maybe that's something you see more now, is, you know, players have the freedom to be creative and make plays. And especially the European players. I think that's always been a part of the European game, and I think that's starting to come into the North America game. And ultimately, you know, you see more great plays, more nice goals, and, you know, that's what, as a fan, you want to see.
So you were a defense. You played defense. Yep. Were you shut down or puck moving?
I like to jump up in offense. So, I would say kind of puck moving, offensive defenseman. I like to think that, you know, I like to play penalty kill too, though, so felt like I could kind of do both, but I definitely like jumping up in the play a little.
All right, what's that feeling when you know you got to eat a shot? It's coming, and you know you're going to block it. You have to. There's no choice right now. Are you thinking about it, or it's just training? This is what I do.
Yeah, I think it's kind of instinctive, and then I think you hear your teammates cheering for it and things like that right after, and you know you helped make a good play, so you usually forget pretty quickly. But there's a few you get where you're like, that stung, and you know, maybe I should have let the goalie have that one. But it's kind of just in the moment, you just kind of go with it.
I was gonna say, you played goalie, you know, the goalie has
more,
like, everybody thinks that you're all padded up there. There are spots where if you get hit, it does not tickle.
Yeah, a couple of the feet, you know, you can get the foot at the right angle. You see that happen to guys all the time out there. And I know they wear the shot blockers and stuff, but it only helps so much. Exactly. You know, you can still get it in a tough spot. So definitely can sting.
What was it like winning the championship with the Pride about, 3 years ago now, I guess it was?
Yeah, that was actually really cool. That was the first year of the NWHL.
Yeah.
And that was actually the season one of our teammates, Denna Lang, we had got the opportunity to play at the outdoor game down at Foxborough at Gillette, and she actually lost an edge and fell into the boards and had a spinal cord injury. And that was in, you know, New Year's Eve, December 31st of that year. And then so the rest of that season, you know, our whole thing was just to win it for her. And, you know, we had a really great group in Boston that year. So we were fortunate to pull that off. And, you know, it was cool to be kind of part of that history.
And when you win a championship, you're locked with those players forever, right? It's you can go 3 years without talking to someone, and then you meet them, and it's like you're picking up where you left off. I don't know why that's the case for winning championships, but have you found that to be the case?
Yeah. And a lot of those, you know, the women's hockey world's pretty small, so you get to play with a lot of these players from a young age up until then, and you know, to be able to have that moment and kind of those memories is really cool.
You know, when we talk about the game, you can come up with players, and usually, you know, this player is ranked against this player. We see it all the time for the draft, and everybody's compared to. Do you notice that in the women's game, where it's maybe a rivalry forms between a couple of players? You grew up in Pittsburgh, so we could use Sidney Crosby versus Alex Ovechkin, or is it more the women's game, we're all trying to encourage everybody to come in, so there's not that, or there is that. That's part of it if you're an athlete.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, maybe comparing some of the U.S. and Canada girls is probably the most kind of just relevant thing right now, just because, you know, those Olympic girls are probably mostly the face of the game.
Yep.
And rightfully so. And so I think that's probably where it is right now. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I think everyone appreciates just seeing good talent no matter where it's from. So, I think that hopefully there's some cool rivalries like that in the future.
All right, big picture. Raleigh gets a women's league happens and Raleigh gets a team. You putting the jersey on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think my playing days are might be numbered, but no, it'd be really cool. And I think the coolest thing down here too is people just like watching hockey. You know, you see even the state games the other night here, and there's a couple thousand people watching college hockey, and I think that's so cool. And you know, hopefully, actually, we're gonna do a women's hockey night here in March, and Hopefully we'll be able to do like a cool 3-on-3 thing during intermission or something to showcase some of the women's talent. But I think it'd be really cool to have a team down here, and I think it'd get some good support.
Another big picture question, very broad too, but where do you hope to see women's, girls and women's hockey grow in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think it'd start with that league that is an actual professional option. Yeah,
right.
And then, you know, I think having that, I think, would cause such a trickle-down effect from the way girls go into college. You know, maybe girls would leave college early. You know, right now, yep. College is really the peak of your career. You're on the ice every day. You have the same resources as the men. And then you leave college, and you really don't have much. You know, you're kind of on your own. So I think being able to kind of have that as the long-term goal, and then I think the trickle-down effect of college and high school and, you know, getting girls involved at a young age would just be so impactful.
You're a bit into it now, but would coaching be something that would be attractive to you in the future?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I kind of never really thought that seriously about coaching, but I think, you know, being involved with the youth hockey scene down here and, you know, just doing some of my own camps and clinics, I think I definitely enjoy it, but I'm not sure I would ever, you know, coach full time, but I think it's definitely something I'm open to.
You know, the weird thing is, and I want to phrase this the right way, there always seems to be this stigma in other sports when we say, oh, there's a woman coaching men. But I think in hockey, don't you think it would go over easier if you know what you're talking about and the guys will respect that? And that's like the number one thing, that there's a respect level between player and coach. So do you think one day we're starting to see it now in the NFL? They're getting some females on coaching staffs. Do you think that there's going to be a day where we really see maybe a full-time assistant coach?
I hope so. You know, I actually think the NHL is lagging pretty behind compared to some of the other sports in terms of having women involved in the front office and on coaching staff. So obviously, you know, Cammy Granato being a scout in Seattle, I think is a huge first step. I think there's some women kind of on the major juniors that are kind of involved as assistants and things like that. So I think it definitely will happen. I think the NHL is a little bit behind, you know, NFL, MLB and things like that in terms of, and then NBA.
Yeah.
You know, you see women on the sideline or on the court side all the time. Coaching. So, I think it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
So I know you've mentioned a few of them, but any upcoming events or camps or clinics that you want to share?
Yeah. So we'll actually be doing a parent-daughter clinic here at PNC. So mother, father, whatever you guys want to come out. But so we'll be doing that where kind of the parent and their daughter can come and kind of bond through hockey, do a clinic together. We'll do a little reception after and things like that. And then we'll be doing women's only clinics, similar to the adult clinics we've done here at PNC. That'll be in March, so that'll be really fun. And, you know, hopefully get a good showing of women that either know how to play a little bit or want to learn and can come out here and enjoy that.
All right, number one thing you would tell a kid who's getting into hockey who wants to be a player? What's the first thing you tell them off the bat what they need to embrace or go with?
Obviously have fun, but I think too, you know, I think kids are resilient, but, you know, if fall down, hey, get right back up. You know, no one cares if you fell down, and it's nothing to be nervous about. You know, just fall down, get right back up, and I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Number one thing you'd tell parents whose kid is getting into hockey for the first time, and they're not necessarily hockey people as far as parents go.
Be ready to be cold. But no, I think goes back to, you know, the kid's got to be having fun. I think youth sports in general right now seems like it's turned into a year-round thing, and kids are specializing at a younger age.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it's not good for the development of any sport. But I know specific to hockey, you know, kids shouldn't be playing hockey year-round at a young age and really at any age. And so I think just making sure that it doesn't feel like a job for the kids and making sure that they're always having a good time.
What other sports did you play then?
You know, I actually didn't play too many organized sports, but we definitely didn't play hockey year-round. You know, we'd go and play football on the street and you know, baseball and try and play soccer and things like that. But we would just take off in the summer. Maybe you could do like one hockey camp and that's about it. So I think, it just gets you excited when the season does come back around to actually get back on the ice.
Could you have imagined, when you moved here in Raleigh, being in the position you're in today with the Hurricanes?
No, yeah. No. And actually, you know, I mentioned summer camp. I remember doing the Hurricanes youth summer camp when I was a goalie. And
right.
It's kind of funny. I have a picture of Paul Maurice like signing my jersey, and he was just here, you know, last night with Winnipeg. So, I definitely don't think that I would have ever imagined something like this even a few years ago. I think, knowing that, you know, the NHL and teams are investing more on the girls and women's side is really cool. And obviously just feel honored to be a part of it.
Have you shown Rod Brindamore the photo of you and him?
No, I haven't seen him since I posted that. So, I'm like, oh, hopefully he didn't see that. It might be weird.
I think he'll be okay with it.
Yeah, I think because when he got here, he landed. It was snowing, and he was like, wow. I don't know about this, but I mean, it's come to be his home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's actually so cool. You know, you walk around the arena and you see pictures of him holding up the cup and, you know, he's been part of the organization for so long. It's hard to imagine him ever not being part of the organization in some capacity. So hopefully, you know, he's obviously found some really great success here so far, and I'm sure he's continued to will.
Have you taken a moment though to say, how cool is this that I am part of the same organization as, you know, Rod Brindamore, the one where Paul Maurice signed your jersey at that time. Have you taken that moment, or it's been a full-time job? You kind of got thrown into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, kind of got thrown in. But yeah, I think definitely, you know, just even being down on the glass and you know, helping with the Mighty Mites and during intermission and things like that, you kind of really realize like, hey, this is pretty cool to give these young kids this moment to play on an NHL rink during an NHL game. And you know, hopefully that they become lifelong fans.
I know that I've joked about Shane Willis and Emile Hartman, and you definitely
and rightfully so.
And you definitely have done way more heavy lifting than they have since you've been brought on. But on the serious note, what they've done for youth hockey, mm-hmm. what Shane's done to help grow the game, what does that mean? Especially if you, as you've watched, you're like, if only these guys were here, you know, when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old. What have they done, and what has Shane done, a former NHL player, to really try to make the game stick here in North Carolina?
Yeah, I don't think you can say enough about the impact he's had on the growth of the game down here. And, you know, even, you know, ever since I've known him, he's always been so open to growing the girls' game. And I think, you know, knowing that he saw an opportunity to have this role, continue to help him, you know, grow the game and grow girls and boys getting involved in the sport, I think is a huge testament. And it's been a lot of fun working with them. Obviously, fortunate to have known them both for a few years now, but it's been cool to see, you know, behind the scenes how involved they are and how passionate they are about growing the game.
Well, Alyssa, I know the Hurricanes are a better organization having you around. Excited to see, you know, where you take the girls and women's hockey in this area. I'm just glad we got a chance to talk to you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thanks for taking the time, really, and you know, shedding some light on a great game. And, of course, you know, there's more areas for it to grow. And I echo what Michael said 100%. And anytime you want to join the Canes cast, you are now here. You're officially part of this now.
Yeah, now I know where your office is.
Yeah,
exactly. Just keep it hidden. Not a lot of people know, or not a lot of people are willing to walk this far to go see it, one or the other.
Very true. No, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Oh. What a great chat that was with Alyssa.
Absolutely. And for me, it's just great to see the game growing in other places. Look, I grew up in a hockey town, if you want to call that, and I grew up about 15 minutes away from Canada, so hockey was always on my radar. But to see how it's grown in the 12-plus years that I've lived here in North Carolina with the programs, with the job that Shane Willis has done, and Emile Hartman with the Carolina Hurricanes, what the Hurricanes have done to give back to the community to grow the game. And you see the rinks that are around here now that have kind of upped their game. There's an unbelievable practice facility coming for the Carolina Hurricanes in Morrisville that's only going to attract, I think, more attention to hockey in this area. It'll make it, I think, a little bit more accessible for people who want to play the game. It's great. And then to add Alyssa Gagliardi into the mix to help grow the game on the women's side of the ledger, it's just a win-win. And she is such an engaging personality. And, you know, I'm kind of interested to see if that one league does finally form, if, you know, she puts the uniform back on and plays, because she can certainly still play at a high level. But Great getting a chance to talk about the game and aspects of the game that we probably normally wouldn't talk at this time of year.
Yeah, we'll have to get her suited up for the media ball hockey game next year. She could all show us a thing or two about how to play the game.
She's on our team.
Oh, we're on the same team?
Oh, yeah, she's on our team. If Shane's on the other team, she's on our team.
Team Canes cast. That's true. Yeah, she's got to beat Shane.
Yeah, that's
because
it.
Shane deserves it.
Yeah, at this point.
He's had it coming for a few years.
Well, when he last year was down, and mind you, I they beat a goalie who had severe health issues. Nobody knew, but I saw him. They were down late, and he comes halfway to the rink calling for the puck on a one-timer. How am I going to stop that?
How's anybody going to stop that?
Especially with the equipment that we're wearing.
A first-round draft pick.
Well, he wasn't a first-round draft
pick. A two-time draft pick, sorry.
He was a two-time draft
pick.
I'm going to get in his head a little bit there if he listens, just so you know. But he's calling for it, and the only time I have ever been more afraid in that game, and afraid is not really the word, but it's the word, was when Ron Francis jumped over the boards and shot one past me, which to this day I've heard but have never seen.
Oh, it's it was by you in a flash.
Yeah, and Shane had that look like, I am doing this. I am unloading. Let me get in Shane's Canadian voice here. Oh, here comes the slapper.
Is that Shane or Emil?
Both.
Yes. Yeah. They're the same person.
It's a very symbiotic relationship towards Emil.
That's why I'm glad Alyssa's now a part of the organization, because she can bring some balance to
the force.
The force,
All right, let's not go there. Keep Bill Berniston here. I've already taken it weird with the whole single white female reference right there on Emil and Shane, but they're great at what they do.
Yeah. I mean, we joke about them, but obviously what they've been able to build here in the youth and amateur community is special, and what Alyssa's been brought in to do to only grow it even further is going to be fantastic for not only the Hurricanes organization, but just for the sport of hockey in the Triangle.
And great people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we should undersell that. And the reason why we joke about Emil and Shane, they look similar.
They do.
So that's why we joke about
and
it
they do
the
similar
time.
Things and
mannerisms.
Mannerisms and
one grows facial hair, the other one grows facial hair. That's the weird part of it.
They both play hockey.
Exactly.
One at a little bit of a higher level than the other one.
Emil was a heck of a football player.
Yeah?
Yeah, just so you know. So
he's enough, an athlete.
Enough credit for those guys.
Yeah, but I think one of the cool things about Alyssa and just about what, you know, this her new position and the Hurricanes investing in this is just, it's a testament to why this market was so important. And why growing the game is so important. Because, you know, I'm one of those people who, when the Hurricanes arrived here in North Carolina in 1997, that's kind of when I fell in love with hockey. And that's how you grow a fan base. That's how you grow a generation of fans, is through exposing them to something new, exposing them to a new sport, giving them the opportunity to experience it, to play it, to learn it, to live it. And so for Alyssa to be heading up a program that's going to expose the game of hockey and teach the game of hockey to a section of the population that maybe previously didn't have as good of access to it is going to mean a lot 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And you can already see it when, you know, from the time that Alyssa got to North Carolina as a child to where she is now. I mean, it's amazing the growth of hockey in North Carolina. And that's why it's so important to have, you know, to have the NHL branch into these, we'll call them non-traditional markets, because that grows the game and introduces the game to people who might not have been involved with it before. And the more inclusive you can be as a sport and as a community, the better we all are.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because when I took the job down here on the radio side of things, you know, I went from a hockey market to definitely not a hockey market in Richmond, Virginia, even though they'd had an AHL team before. And then here to Raleigh, where I'm back in a hockey market in my mind. I'm so glad you said what you said, because I like to call it now, it's the vocal minority. You know, I was doing a sports talk show and I'd want to talk hockey. We have a professional team in the town. Why not talk about them and give them coverage and talk to the athletes and make them a big deal? And I never would understand, Michael, and it's why I have to emphasize the vocal minority, the one or two people who would email or call and say, why are you talking about that? Sorry to get into the voice for you there, but you know, it's
fine.
It's
we did just, the Boston accent already too.
That's true. But it's one of those things where, you know, you're not going to like a sport because you didn't grow up with it, or you think it's Northern. Like that's your logic behind not liking it. How about watch it and see how good the athletes are who are playing this game. And I don't know, maybe have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying it's not football or basketball, or I didn't grow up with it, so therefore I don't like it, and go talk to me about the backup offensive guard for Clemson and how he's going to have a hand in the game on December 2021st.
That guy's no good anyway.
You know, exactly. So,
yeah.
They don't even play games in December unless you're in a bowl game.
Oh,
you're not playing.
I thought you were talking about basketball.
No.
Okay.
Backup offensive guard.
Oh, I just heard guard.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, that too. Point either guard. Way.
So I don't know even why I'm thinking of basketball.
But I'm also glad. I'm glad we got Alyssa on as well, because that hopefully exposes the sport to, as you mentioned, other fans.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get women, young girls involved into hockey and they like it, it's just going to make the Hurricanes a little bit more part of the community. And not only that, I'm all for let's create more sports opportunities
sure.
for everybody who's out there. And this is why Alyssa Gilardi being added to the Canes organization and the role that she has right now as far as helping to grow the game with, you know, girls and women, and the project we talked about that they did down at Fort Bragg and yeah. other projects that are becoming in, the more people that you can say, look, this is what's this game is all about.
Yep.
Here's what the crux of hockey is. I think the more people will love it. But you gotta have A, avenues, platforms to be a part of it, and then B, you have to be open to it. And if you see that people are being a part of it and enjoying it, if it's something that they didn't grow up with, who cares? You know, I didn't grow up playing tennis. I like watching tennis.
Yeah.
So not yeah. talking about it right now because we're doing a hockey podcast. That
yeah, we don't have tennis cast just yet.
That talks
but maybe.
About Star Wars and food.
Yeah,
but it's a hockey
to the
podcast.
Chagrin of some people.
That's all right.
So. This is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
I didn't think we were gonna get him in this week.
Hi.
There we go.
Yeah, he's got to get in. Yeah, and the other thing is, I think Alyssa is a great ambassador for both the Hurricanes and for the sport of hockey. So to have her around, and you'll see her on game nights. I know she mentioned, you know, on the ice with yep. the Mites during intermissions, or you might see her roaming around. I know she's been on the television show a time or two. She's going to be very involved moving forward in her role here with the Hurricanes. And you know, like I told her at the end of the interview, I think the Hurricanes are a better organization yep. having her around. And it's only going to, the sport's only going to grow from here, just from a youth and amateur standpoint. The growth is only just beginning here in the Triangle. And she, along with Emil Hartman, Shane Willis, and just the whole organization in general are going to be a big part of that moving forward. And if you're interested and learning more about any of the camps, clinics, things that she mentioned, you can go to canesyouthhockey.com. That's where you'll find all the up-to-date information on everything from first goal program to hockey camps to clinics, ticket deals, kids club, all the stuff that you might need. If you're interested in getting into hockey, or you have a child who's interested in getting into hockey, that's where you'll find all the information.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. You know what else sounds good? Storm Brew.
Oh, yeah.
We have to, you know, mention them one more time before we get out of here.
Well, I'll mention them more than one if you want.
I just wish we could be enjoying a few right now.
Oh, why aren't we?
I don't know.
Well, you know what? On game day, we can't, but you can enjoy 16-ounce cans of Storm Brew for just $5 at PNC Arena. 97 calories, 2.4 carbs, a crisp light lager.
Crispy. Crispy.
And if you can't get it at PNC Arena on a game night, guess what? You can get it at Harris Teeter, Food Lion, Lowe's Foods, Whole Foods, Fresh Market, Costco, Walmart, Wegmans, and Handy Hugo. Plus, at Carolina Ale House watch parties, perfect opportunity to try Storm Brew. If you haven't already, Storm Brew teams are on site at each event.
I've also seen it, just on draft around Raleigh. We were at Edwards Mill Bar and Grill a few nights ago, and they have it on draft there. I'm sure if you go to your local watering hole that if they don't already have it on draft, maybe they'll get it on draft soon.
And, of course, our good friend Jordan Martinuk is a big fan of the Storm Brew.
He is, and we're big fans of him and big fans of Storm Brew.
Yeah, and they're big fans of the Canes cast.
Yes, thankfully. Thanks to our friends at R&D Brewing for their support of us and
okay?
the Hurricanes. Yeah. I'm just drinking some waters.
Okay.
Not the beers. Not right now, at least.
No beers?
Not right now.
Just waters.
Just waters.
Okay. Well, it's still early in the day right now. I wouldn't want you to get too in front of it.
Right. We're professionals after all.
Don't get in one right now.
No, but later.
Floor it. Exactly.
Pedal down.
He's reading your mind right there.
It is the bye week for a reason.
You know what else sounds good? Let's cue up Mr. Farrell.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
I know that you have nothing ready for this.
No. I didn't even know if we'd do it this week.
We have to. It's a staple of the show.
Did we do it when we had Paul Kropelka on? I don't know if we did.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
But we would have. That was different. We were trying to introduce two new staples. Deep thoughts, deep hockey thoughts, and belts for Smitty.
Yeah. Both of which are still in progress.
Did somebody send a belt for Smitty? Look at you with your pants and your belt.
Doing all the accents.
That's terrible. That's a terrible Kropelka, though.
Yeah, he's going to let you know about
that. Oh, I hope so. Please do. But I have this for you. There are 32 games left for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
32 games left. Will Ferrell's already said it, but I'll throw it back to you. The Canes win 21 of those 32 games.
21 of the 32. So 21 and 11, or some combination of 11 and overtime losses, regulation losses.
Well, remember, in combinations of overtime wins and shootout wins as well to get you to the 21.
Yeah. They're going to get close, I think.
20 would give them 101 points.
Yeah.
If they went 20 and 12, they would have 101 points.
Yeah, I'm going to say something like, I'm going to send it back.
Okay.
But I feel like it's going to be between 18 and 20.
Okay.
It's going to be right near that 21 mark.
See, I was gonna do this based on points, but I figured the putting in the win total would make it a little bit more of a difficult decision for you to make.
Right. Because I think it's fair to make some overtime losses.
Oh, sure.
Again, break down those 32 games into 10 game segments. Win 6 out of every 10 gives you 18. You got 2 extra games, maybe throw a win or two in there. You're up to 19, 20, maybe some overtime losses. It's going to be right in that range, though.
And that's what they've been doing, by the way. They've been winning 6 out of every 10, which that's why when people have been getting upset about they've lost 3 in a row, I'm like, yeah, that's a fact, but this is a team, if you break it into the 10-game increments, as Michael Smith has done, they win 6 out of every 10. So that gives you a good opportunity. By the way, it doesn't start off easy because you got the Golden Knights of Vegas here, January 31st, and then we're on the road again. Just can't wait
to be on the road again.
A trip that starts February 4th, you've got Vegas and Vancouver here, and then at Seattle, at Arizona, at Vegas, at Dallas. That's not an easy road trip, my friend. The defending Stanley Cup champions, one of the better teams in the Pacific.
The host of the All-Star Weekend?
No, I was referring to the Arizona Coyotes after
that. Oh, yeah. I was going back to St. Louis.
You just don't want to leave St. Louis, do you?
No, because they appreciate me more there.
That's what I've been told. Let me know how that calzone is that you had during the All-Star game.
I'm sure it was delicious. I might have even had more than one.
Then we go to Vegas?
Yes, for a few nights.
I might just stay.
but we have to go to Dallas.
Oh, then I'll get on the plane and go to Dallas.
Yeah, we can. The site of the Winter Classic.
That is right. The Cotton Bowl. So there you go.
It was a great television event, by the way. I don't know if anybody watched it, but I quite enjoyed it.
And New Jersey and Edmonton at home. Should be wins.
Beatable teams.
And Nashville, then at Nashville, then the New York Rangers. And Nashville is the mom's trip.
Yeah, it is. Looking forward to getting the moms back on the road. Went to New Jersey a few years ago, 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago. They had the chance to go into the city, into Manhattan.
Not Jersey City.
Yeah, no, not Jersey.
Or New York.
The city.
Yes.
New York City. And they'll have the opportunity to hit Broadway.
Thank you.
And take in some sights and sounds of Nashville, one of the best cities that we go to each and every year.
No disagreement from me.
And we gave some food recommendations last week. So go back and listen to episode 121 if you missed those.
We have a tweet at us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that today.
So if you want me to hit it, I will.
I think he was just thanking us for the food recommendation, said we hit it right on the mark.
Oh, the line was, I think you guys nailed the Nashville food recs, particularly Biscuit Love and Acme. Nashville is a great road game experience. That's from AT or at.
Thanks, AT.
Thank you. You're set. Got anything else you want to add?
I'm all good.
I know you're good.
I'm going to go back to vacation mode.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to do the exact same thing.
All right. And we'll meet back here next week and talk some more Hurricanes hockey.
That sounds like a plan. All right. So that'll do it for this edition of the Canes Cast. For the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you after the All-Star break. We'll fill you in on all of those details, of course. Until then.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.